Right. Okay, we're all here. Or the bits of us that are going to come. Right, I'm going to talk about forgiveness this morning, which I know probably everybody thinks they know everything about, and that's fine, etc. But I really do feel it's what God gave me to talk about. And just to sort of make it known, the rats came back last night. I thought, no, I'm not having this, right? So I'm praying against them, right, sort of thing. I thought, no, it's just because I was going to do some stuff this morning. I know that's why. All right. I've had rats in my loft. It's been an ongoing problem for 18 months, and then some guys came around and did some loft insulation, and for, 7 months, I haven't had anything. Last night, because I'm speaking this morning, I had the rats back.
I've got a lovely block of poison.
I've got tubs of the stuff, right? Tubs of the stuff. So, I thought the forgiveness is, yeah, I'm not forgiving the rats, I can tell, and I'll tell you why I'm not forgiving them later, okay? But forgiveness was quite a good thing to start with. But we're going to start with a reading. So, guys, you're on. And girls, you're on. Okay. It's from Matthew 18, 21 to 25. Just sit where you are and read. Yeah, okay. So, whoever's Peter.
Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me?
I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him.
Be patient with me, and I will pay back everything.
The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him.
Pay back what you owe me.
His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him,
be patient with me and I will pay you back.
But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in.
You wicked servant, I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you?
In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart.
This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Well, that's that then. That's it. You have to forgive. That's the bottom line. Some of you know my mum and dad are not believers, but they do go to a Salvation Army Bible study class and have been for the last 3 or 4 years. And they're getting closer. They tithe to the Salvation Army now. They don't call it tithing because I don't know what that means, but they tithe there. But one of the things they really struggle with is this idea of forgiveness. We've had quite a few discussions after they've been to a Bible study group about forgiveness, because they see forgiveness as the people getting away with it, yeah? And that if they withhold their forgiveness in some way, the other people are punished. Now, they've lived through the war, okay, and they lived in London during the war, so my mother was in the middle of the Blitz and all that. And the idea of forgiveness and people just being able to get away with things is something she really, really, really struggles with. And I've talked to her a bit about it, etc. But it's like it's one of those sort of like no-go areas now that we don't talk about unless we're going to have a major family row sort of thing. And one of the things that you can see, especially on the TV now, often with things like some of the child sort of abuse that's been on and the sort of atrocities there have been, is that there can be very different attitudes between some people who forgive what's going on and some people who don't and hold it close. One of the things you notice about the people who hold on to it is that they tend to be very bitter about the experience, very bitter about what's happened. And that's one of the things that's a fruit of unforgiveness, in a sense. It's what it leads to. It leads to bitterness. And you become very bitter and you can become very hard-hearted about things. I know it probably isn't an exact quote because I didn't look it up, but I know there's this thing that says sort of, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. My attitude to life is, yep, except if I can get mine in first. Yeah, I'm dying to get one of those things on the front of the car where you hit the button and the machine guns people, etc., and they cut you up and things like that. I'm not necessarily the most forgiving of people, right? I want justice, and I want it now, and I want them to know that they've done wrong, and I want them to pay for it. Except if I break the speed limit, I want people to be merciful and forgiving, etc. You know what I mean? So it's something I have struggled with over the years. Now, why do we need to bother about forgiveness? And there's four main things. First thing is, it's required by God. In your heads, just run through the Lord's Prayer. Everybody know? Anybody here not know the Lord's Prayer? You can look it up, Matthew 6, but just run through it. Go. Who's got to forgive us our trespasses? We forgive those against us. It means we have to forgive sins of those who have sinned against us. God will forgive our sins if we forgive the sins of those that have sinned against us. Our relationship with God is based on our relationship with each other. The way we relate to each other should be on the same basis that God relates to us. Yeah? You know, it's there. We say it by rote. There's probably very few people in the country who cannot, whatever their religious background, lack of, whatever, who cannot recite the Lord's Prayer. And it's stated there, it says here, forgive us for our sins just as we have forgiven those who sinned against us. Just as we have forgiven, okay? Our forgiving of others comes first, and then God will forgive our sins for us. So it's a requirement by God. God requires it. The second is, it's essential for our freedom. In that reading we had, no, I lied, it wasn't in that reading we had. Matthew 18, just give me a minute while I'm flicking through. I've only got easy references, I've got anything odd that I can't find today. Matthew 18, that's it. It talks about 7 times 7 and 70 times 7, okay? It talks about, when I can't find the thing though, it says about forgiving from the heart. Oh yeah, that's it. This king did what my heavenly father will do to you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart, all right? It's essential that we get forgiveness from our heart to, in a sense, put us right, to set us free. If there's unforgiveness in our hearts are not free. They are bound up. They're in bondage. They're actually bound up. If we don't forgive from our heart, it makes us spiritually sick. Yeah, it's like having a diseased heart. I mean, we're really grateful that Rosie's possible hereditary heart thing wasn't there. But that's what unforgiveness does. It makes that root of bitterness in our hearts, and it can influence your life. Because if you don't forgive, you're basically opening a door and saying, okay, enemy, you can have residence here. In my heart, the very being of my essence, you know what I mean? That's sort of where I am. I've got unforgiveness, and that allows the enemy to have a foothold in your heart, and it can make your heart sick. And when you talk about heart sick, normally you're not talking about sort of a physical disease. You're talking about the fact that you spiritually don't feel well. You're not right. You're not right. You're not with one with the world, as it were. 2 Corinthians, which is, I assume, is after 1 Corinthians 10 and 11. What's it say here? 2 Corinthians 2, 10 and 11. You found it? Do you want to read it out? 2 Corinthians 2, 10 and 11.
Okay. If you forgive anyone, I also forgive him. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes.
Yeah. So, If we forgive, God forgives us. We close down that route for the enemy to enter our hearts. We close down that route for the enemy to have influence over our lives. And we are shutting the enemy out. It's like closing that door and keeping the bad things on the outside and the good things on the inside. So it's a requirement by God. It's essential for our freedom. And then also because we now understand about justice, mercy and grace. I don't know if any of you have read The Shack. Oh, I'm going to get off the stool. It's going to be a bit of a disaster. Right. I don't know if any of you have read this. It's not a theological book as such. But if you struggle with understanding the Trinity, how God the Father, Son and Holy Spirit sort of relate to each other, etc. And in a sense why Jesus died. It's a very good story for putting that out. I'm not going to put my hand up and say that it's theologically totally sound and everything in it is the truth, etc. But it's a very good way of sometimes getting an angle of what's going on. And in chapter 11, it's called Here Comes the Judge. Duh, judge, okay? And the whole story is about a man whose daughter has been kidnapped, abused, and is probably dead. And it was his fault, he feels, because he was rescuing his other child who was drowning, and this person came and took the daughter. And it's all about the depression that he suffers, etc. And then he meets in a shack God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. And this one here is all about judgment. And if you've got really struggling with forgiveness and why you need to forgive and in a sense, why Jesus died and what role that plays in forgiveness, then this chapter is... I couldn't read it the first time round because I cried so much. And so I had to go back a second time, etc. Because suddenly I understood why Jesus died for our sin. I understood. I'm not saying it's everything to say about it, but I actually really understood. And it talks about his other children. Now, I don't have children, so I don't understand that thing of giving up your child, etc. I can't feel that because I haven't got children of my own. But as me, my sort of, you know, cynical 54-year-old, I read it and I thought, I understand why Jesus died after reading that. So if you've never read it, this is Ruth gave me this. Where are you? Ruth gave me this. She said, read that. She says, not quite sure what I think about it. She says, but read it. It's a good read. So I've read it. So I do recommend it.
I can wait until the end of August. I've got two copies that I
can
give away.
So, yeah, book club. So you can have a little queue. God does not exercise justice towards us. All right. Justice is about giving people what they deserve. If we got what we deserved from God, we'd be dead. Okay? We talk a lot about justice in the church, and you know that Donna's very keen on sort of justice issues, but that's about giving people what they deserve, about drinking water, ability to make a living, you know, the right to be able to access medical care and things like that. It's giving people what they deserve. But if God was just towards us, all right, if God really exercised his justice towards us, we would be dead. And the reason we would be dead is because we all sin and fall short of God's glory. Right? And we tend to categorise sin. We all do it. I do it. Right? I find it very hard to think that me speeding is on the same level as somebody who's murdered somebody. Right? We categorise sin, mainly because we've got a justice system that categorises sin. You know, some things are a slap on the hand or a caution, and other things are put away for a long period of time. So we tend to categorise sin. But God is so perfect that even a tiny, weeny, 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 weeny bit of sin can't come into his presence. Right? So it doesn't matter whether you've done a big sin or a little sin. It doesn't matter whether you've gossiped, whether you've just broke the speed limit, etc., whatever. That's, to God, is as bad as, because no sin can go anywhere near him. It's like having a white sheet of paper. It doesn't matter if it's completely scrawled over or it's got tiny, tiny little speck in the corner, it's dirty. Yeah? And that is how we are. So if God exercised his justice towards us, we would be dead. Fortunately for us, okay, God found a way that we could be in relationship with him. That's the cross. That's when Jesus died, because he took all our sin upon him. Now, that doesn't mean to say we won't ever sin again, okay? But it meant that there was a route. Jesus enabled us to be in relationship with God, to be in God's presence, because he took all of that stuff upon himself. And it's through Christ that we are able to relate to God closely. Prison Alpha is amazingly successful. Okay, you can be like me, a cynic, and think, yeah, it just helps with their parole, etc. Or you can take it that it has been hugely successful, and we've seen in the past videos by guys who've been in jail and things like that, talking about Alpha, talking about how it's changed their life. And one of the reasons is because convicts. Is that a correct way of describing them, really? I don't know whether that's sort of a pejorative term, really, sort of convicts. Anyway, people in jail understand that forgiveness isn't directly related to punishment, okay? That, in a sense, they can be forgiven, but they still have to serve out their punishment. Sin's not about being a doormat. It's not about allowing everything to happen. That's not what it is. Forgiveness isn't about being a doormat. It's not about letting everything to happen. And they're able to understand that what they did and being forgiven for still means they have to serve out their punishment. They still have to be punished for the crime, even if they've been forgiven by God for the crime. There was a very useful thing I came across about justice, mercy and grace. I was talking about grace the other day. I don't know about anybody else. I know it's the same for Richard, but the last week of term in a secondary school is a nightmare. You have year nines who are not opting for your subject, who therefore don't care, right? You have sort of... It is really quite tough. And a long time ago, Tina taught me a trick. Okay.
I still do it.
You do it. I do all the time. Okay. And you go, grace. Okay. And I do it in school. I don't say grace, but I just stop. I can stop in the middle of a sentence, right? Because you're getting more and more wound up. You've actually got to the stage where you have threatened to kill haul some child. Do you know what I mean? Just if they carry on, etc. And I literally just stop. And I physically just take a step back and I think, grace. Grace. Okay. Justice is about giving people what they deserve, right? Justice is about whatever it is they deserve, they get it. So whether it's the justice system, or it's justice in terms of social action, or it's justice in terms of the third world. Mercy is about not giving people what they deserve. Saying, I'll hold back on that. That person deserves this, but I'm going to be merciful towards them. And you tend to hear that when we're talking about God. We say, God, be merciful. Don't actually punish me. You know, I've really, really mucked up with this, and I really, really deserve to be whatever you can imagine, etc. But we ask God to be merciful towards us. It's about not giving people what they deserve. And grace is giving people what they don't deserve. Yeah? So it's actually saying, you don't deserve this, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. And God's grace towards us is giving us the things that we don't deserve. We don't, sometimes we tend to think of it, I always tend to think of that as things like blessings. Yeah? Like, you know that frequently, and you all think it's because I can't do the maths, that there's sometimes more money in my account than there should be. And I know you think it's because I can't do the maths. And there's no use you nodding, because it's not true. I keep very, very strict accounts, and sometimes when I need money, there's more there than I think there's going to be. And that is God not giving me what I deserve, right? He's actually giving me extra, and it's just a way that God blesses me. Or I can't think of any example, but I'm sure all of you can think where you know that God has blessed you over and above what you deserve. God has blessed you and given you something extra, something more. So justice, giving people what they deserve. Mercy, not giving them what they deserve. Grace, giving them what they don't deserve. So We understand justice, mercy and grace. We bandy them around all the time in songs, okay? So if you don't know what they mean, remember that thing about what justice, mercy and grace is, because we're singing about them all the time and, thanking God for his mercy and singing about justice and things like that. And we need to be clear about what we deserve and what we don't deserve and what God gives us in those things. The other reason we need to forgive is going back to this bitterness root thing, is that for a lot of people, not forgiving people actually causes pain. I once was engaged to be married, and it took a while to forgive the person involved when we didn't, even though I called it off, I still needed to forgive him. Right? Okay. And I knew that forgiveness had happened when, about a year ago, I was out walking with my friends and they said to me, "What was your fiancé called?" And I went, seriously? I could remember his first name was Paul. It wasn't that bad. Seriously, couldn't remember. I seriously could not remember his name. That is now so done with, that it's done with in that sense. I had to go and ask Wendy what his name was. And she couldn't remember. And she had to ask David. Or was it David? And she asked Wendy. But anyway, so his name was Paul Gilmore. Okay, but at the time, it wasn't age. Okay, me forgetting things because I was getting old either. Yeah. I just know how some of your minds that go. I know that that was a big work that had been done, that had been dealt with. There's a story which some of you may have heard if you've ever done something like Freedom in Christ, etc., about you're walking along beside a river and there's somebody fly fishing. You know that sort of thing, etc., except he goes and is stuck, fish hook, cheek, yeah? I don't know if you've ever had a fish hook in your finger or something like that, but it hurts a lot because it's got little barbs in it, so you can't get it out very easily. And the best way to get it out of your finger is to actually go all the way through and stuff. And you can get angry with the fisherman who has snagged you, okay? But what you don't do is say, "I'm so cross with you, I'm going to refuse to take it out," right? You can also say that's completely stupid, right? Completely stupid. If you've got something in your side of you that hurts, you want to take it out. Unforgiveness in us is something that causes us pain. You know it causes you pain because when you remember it or you think about it, you either get hot and cross or you feel sick. You get that lurch in the stomach about it. They're all quite good hints that there's stuff that you're not forgiven. If you are seething, you used the word this morning, underneath, very calm, dignified on top, underneath, seething. They're all, I'm not getting at you now. They're all instances of unforgiveness. You know what I mean? They are all indicators that's there. If you get to the stage where you can forget, you probably know that's probably something that's done and dusted with. The other thing is when you are you're going around with this fish hook stuck in your cheek and it's going, hurts, etc. You're attached to somebody else on the other end of the fishing line. Yeah? And one of the things that unforgiveness does is it ties us to that person. Yeah? Because by not forgiving and forgetting, you are tied emotionally to that person. And if you can get those hooks out, those fishing hooks, those metaphorical fishing hooks out, you break that tie with that person. It gives you a chance to forgive, to forget, to deal with. I can remember all the instances of being, except his name, it being engaged, etc., and the process that went through. But there's nothing there. There's no pain. It's just factual stuff in the past that's there. Yeah, it's not something now that calls up an emotional response from me. It's not something that it's still there under the surface. And forgiveness isn't burying something so deep, right, that you don't think about it or you choose not to go there. You know, that's cut away and it's sort of covered with a steel door and a big padlock on because it's still in there, and if the padlock ever got broken or rusted through, it can come out and bite you. And sometimes the thing with unforgiveness is that it bites you when you're really not expecting it. It comes in from somewhere else. And so we actually have to... We have to act to get the hook out, even if we feel that we are letting them off the hook. We can't stay tied to that person. We can't carry on carrying around that pain with us. It's just stupid. It looks stupid. You know, that's a very easy analogy to think of. But for lots of us, we do carry stuff with us. And we don't deal with it, and we do carry it round, and it ties us to that past, and it ties us to that past situation, instead of us dealing with it. God has given us a mandate. You know, it wasn't like, if you feel like it. What did it say? It says, torture you, and etc., unless you forgive your brother from your heart. You've got to get it out. You've got to get the hooks out. You've got to detach yourself from that person. You can't be tied to that person anymore. It's something that you need to get done. So what is it? It's from the heart. It has to be from the heart. But that doesn't mean to say it has to be that you feel like it. It's a choice. You make a choice. You don't ask God to help you. You don't ask, if it's in God's will, help me to forgive, right? Because it's always in God's will, so don't even go there, sort of thing. You have to choose that you're going to do it. It's a decision of your will. You're going to choose to do it. It's not forgetting, okay? It's just letting it go, all right? It's about not bringing up the past and using it against you or the other person ever again. I don't know... For some of you, what your rows are like. Okay, I don't want to know what your rows and your family are like, etc. I don't have a partner, so I can't tell you what my rows are like with them. But I can tell you what the rows with my mother. My mother will bring up things. Right, it's good she's not here because she'd be mortified. But she will bring up things from like 12 years ago. Okay, that you did. Sort of thing, and there's no letting it go sort of thing. We talked about why they find it difficult to let things go, but my mother will do that sort of thing. My mother will bring up things, it's my fault, even if I wasn't in the country, okay? I remember the best thing, I'd been away on a field trip to Switzerland when I was about 16. I came home, I was greeted at the door by, I dropped this and it's your fault. I went, pardon? Sort of thing. How can it be my fault? I wasn't here. I wasn't in the country. I was thinking about you. Okay, fair enough. All right, okay. it's about choosing to forgive, choosing to let go, not bringing up the past and using it. Saying we have moved on from that. That's dealt with. This is really important. It's not about putting up with sin. Crimes should be punished, right? It's not about, you know, I see a crime, I'm going to be very terribly forgiving that they've just crashed into my car, okay? And I will let them get away with it. No, it's not about that. It's like not going off the deep end screaming and shouting because somebody has just backed into your two-month-old car. Happened to me. The woman who backed in went ballistic. Me, whose car it was brand new, was like, okay, just give me your insurance. I was so impressed with my... I think it's because my aunt was there and I was trying to be very... No, I think I was genuinely quite good about it sort of thing. But it's, you know, it's not saying crime doesn't go... It has to be punished. It's not about being a doormat. I'm so forgiving, you may walk all over me. It's not about being a doormat either. If something bad is going on and it's illegal, you report it to the police. Okay? Now, can I use your name? Okay. Mel, I sometimes get a text message from Mel going, blah, 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 upstairs. And I go, pick Phoenix up and leave. Okay? Or I say, have you told the police? And she goes, I think I ought to, you know. No, what's happening is illegal and it's putting you at risk. you should report it to the police. That doesn't stop you crossing your mind to give her a hoover because she hasn't got one, yeah, and those sorts of things. It doesn't stop you at some point inviting somebody to church, but you don't, you can't, if it's illegal, if something's illegal going on, you don't report it just because you're being terribly forgiving. You may have to remove yourself from the situation, depending what it is, sort of thing. So it's not about allowing sin, it's about dealing with forgiveness. It's about how you are. And it's also about not seeking revenge. If somebody's done me wrong, I'm sorry, but my mind goes down that revenge sort of, you know, the revenge scenario you run through your head. If only God would come and go splat on them, my life would be so much better. I'm sorry, it does do that sometimes. It shouldn't, I know, but it does. But that, we want people to feel as bad as us. One of the things, talking to my parents about the war and things like that, was that they can't perceive of forgiving, because if they forgive, then those people won't feel bad about the things that happened that were wrong. And I can't get my mother to understand that bad people often don't feel any remorse about what's gone wrong. I don't know if any of you listen to... there's a programme on Saturday mornings with Fee Glover, the name of which escapes me. Did you listen to that on Saturday morning? She was interviewing a guy who'd written a book who had been in and out of prison for 35 years, and his son had died, and he was in for armed robbery and things like that, and his son had died, and it was his son dying who was getting into crime, and he wouldn't go into the circumstances, that sort of pulled him up short. Now, it wasn't about Alpha or anything like that, but it made him think about his life. And one of the things he did after that, there's one of the prisons does a lot of therapy work. I don't know which one it was. I was only sort of half listening. There's a lot of therapy work where they talk through about, and they teach empathy, okay? Trying to empathise with their victims, etc. And one of the other guys was saying, you know, have you ever had a gun held to your head? And he was saying, yeah, armed police come in, sort of arresting him, etc., etc. And he said, well, didn't you ever think about how the person you were holding the gun to might feel? He said, yeah, but I knew I wasn't going to shoot them, right? So therefore it was like, okay, sort of thing. And he said it took him years of being in therapy to be empathetic. But we often feel that we can't forgive somebody because if we forgive them, they won't feel bad. Well, often they don't feel bad. Right? Because people who do things wrong often don't feel bad about it. And we can't get trapped into holding on to our unforgiveness because we think they're not going to be affected. They very rarely are affected by us. We need to deal with our things. It's and for our benefit. Romans 12:19. It says, my friends, do not try to punish others when they wrong you, but wait for God to punish them with his anger. It is written, I will punish those who do wrong, I will repay them, says the Lord. And then it goes on, but you should do this, about feeding the hungry and the thirsty and giving them a drink and things like that. Can't seek revenge, okay? I spend too long actually making up really complicated scenarios and how to get back at somebody. I sound really horrible, don't I? I think sometimes you just get it out of my system, sort of thing. You know, if X happened and Y happened and Z happened, etc. And sometimes God goes smack, right? Move on, forgive, move on.
And yes, something into there. Just because we forgive them doesn't mean that it negates what we're feeling.
No.
And what we are experiencing and our need then to take that to God. Because I think sometimes when it comes to forgiving, we think because we forgive, we've got to forget, and therefore we've got to stop feeling. And I think it's being honest with ourselves and with God, saying, because this has happened, yes, I forgive sins, but I feel, you know, really upset, or this has happened, and actually then allowing God to bring healing into how I'm feeling, so I don't go on carrying those feelings with me all the time. So there's that sort of...
I think it is, and I think one of the things I find is that I have to remind myself that I've forgiven, especially at the very beginning when you've forgiven somebody. I have to say, I have to keep, it's like you have to stop that thought process. You say, no, this has been dealt with. No, this has been dealt with. No, and for me, it's quite a few times I have to go, no, this has been dealt with, sort of thing. Other people, sometimes it can be quite a quick process. But it's important also that you don't forgive somebody when you feel ready, okay? So you can still carry bad feelings for quite a long time, because I can remember, okay, when Paul and I broke up, I can remember laying, right, on, really embarrassing, laying on the top landing, right, drumming my feet on the floor, screaming my head off, right? So forgiveness had happened, but the feelings hadn't got sorted out at that point, sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? It was, I know you think I'm very calm and very, but I've grown to be calm, etc. Sort of thing. Yeah, and the feelings sometimes don't match up, and because that's why you have to choose to forgive from the heart. It's about cutting that free. But the healing, if you've had a fish hook in you, the healing takes time, and the feelings, it's the feelings that have to go, because otherwise they don't go, and then they trip on and go on into bitterness. What we have to remember is, because we tend to forgive people, we think it's about them. But forgiveness is actually about us. It's for our benefit. That's why God puts in there we need to forgive people, because it's for our benefit. It's not right or wrong, but it's about taking the hooks out of us, okay? It's about cleansing the rubbish out, about leaving it and moving on. It's about loosening ourselves from that pain and detaching ourselves from that pain. As I said, you can't wait till you feel like it. There's certain people who I really don't like going to with troubles, because they always ask hard questions. So instead of being what I consider nice, kind and sympathetic and going, there, Carol, they go, what do you think God thinks about this? And I think, I don't care what God thinks about it. I feel like this. And I want to go, okay, I'm right now, etc. I don't want to deal with it. I just want to offload, sort of thing. So, you can't wait until you feel in the right position. Forgiveness is about forgiving. It's about making a choice. And as I said before, don't say, help me to forgive. Don't say, I want to forgive, but choose to forgive. It's a mandate. It's there. So one of the things I was thinking of is that you may not have really big things in your life that you need to deal with in terms of forgiveness. But I bet you've got lots of little things in your life that you need to deal with in terms of forgiveness. There may be some issues in the family. Don't know. It could be parents, okay? Good or bad. It could be your children, who may be driving you nuts at the time, etc. You could be your friends. I've got some friends who feel more than willing to point out my inefficiencies or deficiencies or whatever's to me. It could be work colleagues. Now, they really drive you up the wall, because you don't choose work colleagues. Right? You're born into your family. You love them anyway, whatever. You choose your friends, etc. You certainly don't choose parents. They happen to you. But work colleagues, I work with some people who I wouldn't, in the normal run of things, necessarily choose as friends. And I sometimes have to work quite hard with them when they don't do things the way I think they should do, or maybe keep into set procedures, or etc. And sometimes you have to deal with that in a workplace, and you've got to say, you are doing this job wrong, whilst detaching from the sort of emotional side of that. So I've had a situation recently where somebody I'm actually quite, it sounds really bad, emotionally involved with, but they're a friend, and I've had to turn around and say, no, that's not going to happen, sort of thing. Now, I don't need to forgive her, but I've got a sneaking suspicion she may be trying to forgive me quite hard, sort of thing, because she will have perceived me as being nasty. And I wasn't nasty, I was just doing my job the right way. And sometimes we've got bosses who aren't doing what we feel is right by us. I feel like if I could, I'd go into one of those sort of, Western songs where I've been done wrong, you know what I mean? Somebody's done me wrong. And those are the situations, really. They can be quite small things where you have to forgive. Sometimes it's authorities. You know, I've got a friend who's trying to adopt, go up to do an adoption. And because we've gone to a unified Unitarian, whatever, you know, we've all joined together, the council's joined together. Mm-hmm. She got so far through the process with one social worker, she's got a new social worker who says, no, you've got to go back to the beginning. Well, I'd be apoplectic, do you think? You know what I mean, in that sort of situation, because the authorities are just being bureaucratic, you know, and things like that. You may have to forgive doctors, possibly, you know, wrong diagnosis, late diagnosis, not curing somebody who wanted to be, and those sorts of things. Other drivers, I've told you I'm on one of those machine gun things. OTT last week, I only got killed on the A4, and it was not my fault, seriously it wasn't my fault. I was on the other side of the road, you know where the Saab garage is, some cars had turned to go into the Saab garage, and this white car had obviously not noticed they'd stopped in front of him, because there was smoke coming out of his wheels as he sort of ricocheted round them, missed me, and then went into the cars behind, sort of thing. Now, I didn't feel the need to sort of machine gun the white car coming towards me, but I bet the people he went into felt like machine gunning him, sort of thing. You know, other people who do stuff and things. There's also two very important groups of people that we don't think about when it comes to forgiveness. One is forgiving yourself. We make mistakes. We screw up, and it sometimes has huge consequences in our life, and we actually need to forgive ourselves for doing that. Yeah? Okay? We sometimes have to just live with the consequences of screw-ups that we have made, and we need to forgive ourselves. So rather than obsessing about it, you know, everything would be right if I hadn't, everything would be better if I hadn't, everything would be if I hadn't, is actually saying, no, I'm going to forgive myself for screwing up. God forgives me, I'm going to forgive myself, and I'm going to move on from that. The other person you might need to forgive is God. Okay, God sometimes does things in his infinite wisdom that we really, 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 really don't understand. And sometimes we hold that against God, and we need to forgive God for doing those things. There's a way of responding. I'm not going to ask you to do anything public, okay? But there's a little thing here where you can say, Lord, I choose to forgive, and you just put the person's name in, for whatever it was that happened, which made me feel, and you just describe what it is that it made you feel. And then once you've done that, there may be more than one person, you may be, there's a number of people, and there's just a little prayer at the end that says, Lord, I choose not to hold on to my resentment. I thank you for setting me free from the bondage of my bitterness. I let go of my right to seek revenge and ask you to heal my damaged emotions. This is the hard bit. I now ask you to bless whoever that person is you've asked for forgiveness for, in Jesus' name. And don't fill them in. Don't need to read who you're going to forgive or what. But if you want to just take one, say the prayer sort of under your voice and then just leave it at the foot of the cross, then you can. Okay? Thank you very much. I'll just pass some of those. You can pass them along. But remember, forgiveness is about us, not about the person you're forgiving. As I said, don't have to fill it in, but it's just a... No, sorry. I've got a big one. No, I did have a big one. It's up there. I've got pink.
We can get some blue.
Anybody got a pin about them? A bit of blue tack? Looks like a tick. Those would be. I have no idea. It's always worth asking. There is a copy there, so you may just want to come and stand and say your prayer. You might not. But thank you very much.
Thank you, dear.